flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmers2florists.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability, you can connect with florists, you can get your name out there, you get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need. And they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes. Get signed up. We are still offering a special, if it is available, the first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. And if you missed episode one of the mini series, Find Your Flower Farm Fit, go back, give it a listen. We covered how to assess your time, money, infrastructure, and local market so you don't end up building a business that burns you out. So I know that episode got a little bit lengthy, I feel like, about kind of the same things, but it's a very important audit that you need to decide before we dive into all of these different things that I'm going to talk about and all of these different ideas. Because here's the thing, I can almost promise you that this episode, part two, part three, and definitely the Zoom series are going to get you excited, because that's the best part. That's why you want to start a business. You are full of good ideas, and this could be fun, and this could be fun, and this is more money, and this. And like, most entrepreneurs are just idea people. However, pause, let's go back. Let's get that audit from part one of the Find Your Farm Fit, and then listen to this. So if you've not listened to part one yet, go back, listen to last week's episode, and then let's dive into part two. And don't forget, in the episode notes is the Zoom link live on Monday, May 6th, 8 p.m. Central Time. I'm going to do a Zoom presentation on essentially applying all of these things to my farm, explaining where we're at now, how we've evolved in our offerings, and hopefully you can learn from that. But today, we're going to dig into specific types of offerings that you might build your business around. So we're going to break down things like farm stands, subscriptions, garden kits, U-picks, stem bars, and we're going to look at what's realistic, what's profitable, and most importantly, what is a good fit for you. Part three next week is going to be a little bit more specialty offerings, but here in part two, this episode is really just meant to give you kind of a menu of options. You don't have to do them all. In fact, you should not do them all. And this is coming from someone who has done them all. The goal here is to help you decide where to start and what to double down on. So here's the thing. Every single offering I talk about in this episode at one point was a major part of my farm. Okay, a major part. Farm stands, subscriptions, garden kits, U-picks, stem bars, they've all played a central role in my business at one time. But over the years, every one of them has evolved. Some grew, some shrank, some we let go of entirely. So as you listen, don't just think about what you could do.
Think about how each offering might fit into your farm right now and how it might shift or evolve over time. So that's what we're diving into on the May 5th webinar, the behind the scenes look at how our business has changed and why we made those changes. So don't forget to sign up in the show notes. I'm going to walk you through the evolution of our farm, including the offerings that worked, the ones we let go of, and how we decided to invest in a multi-use business to help our business grow without burning out. So plus you'll get access to some pretty major discounts and offerings. All right, here we go. Part one. Farm stands. This is like the gateway of flower farming. It's how I got my start. And honestly, I think it's a great option. So let's just start with, the fact that it's a self-serve farm stand. It's the gateway. It's low overhead. It doesn't require complex systems. But like any offering, there are pros and cons, and I've lived through them all. In fact, I did an episode a year ago on why my flower farm outgrew the farm stand model. I'm not saying I don't do some self-serve farm stand type things, a couple times a year when I have certain offerings, but for the most part, nope, I have outgrown it. It's not a good option for me. So pros, it is a super low barrier to entry. You don't need a cooler. You don't need the delivery logistics. You just need a table, a stand, even a roadside cart. And it is a great way to dip your toes into sales. And, it's really easy to do if you live on a road with decent traffic. The farm stand model really thrives on visibility. Otherwise, you're going to have to market it on social media. That's not impossible, but it's easier if you're in a high traffic area or near a community hub. This can work in your favor. It is a great way to get your name out in the community. It builds local trust. People start to associate you with beautiful blooms, and they love the convenience of being able to grab a bouquet on their time. However, there are some cons. If it rains, or if the wind picks up, or honestly, worst of all, if it's super humid, your setup and your flowers are at risk. There's also a huge risk of theft and loss. So most farm stands are on the honor system. While many people are honest, not everyone is, Everyone's had bouquets taken without payment, and people, you see it all the time. People have had their cash box stolen. You also could have inconsistent sales if you don't have good visibility. So you might sell out one day and then nothing the next, which makes planning and cash flow really hard to manage. When I started my flower farm, setting up a farm stand seemed like a natural choice because it was just a simple way to connect with the community and sell the blooms. And it was cute. I posted about it and I made sure people knew they could just swing in and grab it on their own time. And it really helped me build trust with my local audience. But as my business grew, I realized quickly that the farm stand model had too many limitations for me. So one of the biggest challenges was waste. Flowers are delicate and they have a short shelf life, and any unsold blooms would go to waste because I didn't want to set them out again the next day. So not only was that disheartening from a sustainability standpoint, it also hit any profit margins I maybe would have had. So another issue was, of course, unpredictability. Depending solely on foot traffic or car traffic meant that sales could vary wildly from week to week. So planning for the future, especially in terms of like inventory, all of that became really tough. Eventually, I began transforming my product. So I had higher value stems, more mixed arrangements, and making it more than just a grab and go bouquet. And that definitely increased my profitability and it helped me differentiate my farm from, the noise around. But most importantly, the farm stand helped me learn to value my flowers. So when you realize, when you look at the time, the effort, the care that goes into growing each stem, you realize you cannot afford to undervalue your work. So pricing everything accordingly just kind of helped change it for me. So yes, a farm stand can be an incredible start. It could even be a sustainable model as long as you grow the right flowers and that's your option. But it may not be where you stay. If you outgrow it, that's not failure, that's progress. I made it cute, I posted about it, people could swing in, but overall, I moved on from it. Next thing is subscriptions, and that is where you start getting into recurring revenue, and they are one of my favorite models. So they offer some of the greatest consistency in an otherwise seasonal and weather-dependent business. But they're also one of the most misunderstood things. So pros, obviously that predictable income. You know how many people are signed up and you can plan your crop and harvest accordingly. Special shout out, I do have a crop planning course that's going to be in the email offerings for significantly money off when you sign up for the Zoom webinar. But planning your crops, subscriptions allow you to do that. You know exactly when And here's the thing, you don't just plan your subscription, like you literally plan your subscriptions around when flowers bloom at your farm and in your zone. So honestly, they are one of the most easy things to offer as far as like a profitability standpoint once you get them established, because you can get a very loyal customer base. So once someone is a subscriber, they're much more likely to return the next season and tell their friends. And it is so much harder to train then retain a customer. So it also, like I said, though, it helps with your crop planning and marketing timeline. So you know exactly what days you're going to have flowers, and you can just kind of reverse engineer your little seeding and harvest schedule. There are some cons to it that I didn't really think about because I'm such an extroverted extrovert, and I love, discussion, and as long as it can be like reasonable, you can't reason with an unreasonable person. You cannot change the hearts and mind of those that are committed to misunderstanding. But for the most part, when people enter a, something confrontational, if they enter it with being curious, I love those things because I love to learn, and I will change my mind a lot. People can change my mind because I'm open to learning. But some people get really nervous about confrontation and they take things personally. And so those expectations sometimes can be too much for flower farmers because those subscribers, they expect quality, they expect reliability, they expect communication. You're on their calendar whether you're ready or not. And you just can't, like, if it's a one-off, you're on a deadline. You have to have it ready. And yes, there are always times when you could, you're human, they get that. So if one time you're like, oh my gosh, I have to bring my kid to the ER. Okay. But if that happens 3 out of 5 times, like, oh, my kid is sick, sorry, or oh, we had a rough night, or oh, I got called into work, like that's not their problem. And they're probably not going to come back again. So one of the things that I love about subscriptions is that your marketing is mostly done in the off season. So when we open our signups, it's typically in October already because we end in September, and we promote them pretty hard. And once the season starts, we're fulfilling what's already sold. That means you're not scrambling every week to sell. I'm just delivering on a promise that I made months and months ago. And the follow-up communication also happens in the off season. We send a little recap email to all the subscribers at the end of the season. We thank them. We ask them for feedback. We offer early access for next year. It keeps them engaged. It's part of the system now. In my Zoom presentation, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how I've really built my subscribers into a community. Like they're getting a VIP grand opening for my business. And I am so thankful for these, like, roughly 130 people between spring and summer. Like, they are the people who have been here for years and they're gonna keep coming back. And this business expansion is literally for them. And I love them. They're all like family. And the thing is, though, like I said, you have to remember that there are no fluke deals in a subscription model. If your vase life is bad or your quality slips, your customers will notice. And you don't get a pass just because it was a bad week. That's why I don't offer subscriptions for certain crops that don't hold up consistently. So if you can't predictably grow a high quality product over 4, 6, or 8 weeks, it might not be the right offering. That's why I'm not doing crops subscriptions in July, because they're kind of like the dirty flowers. They're the heat loving annuals. I'm just starting them in August. But we currently have spring and summer subscriptions, and this year we are piloting a tulip only like mini subscription and then a deluxe subscription with peonies. And so it's either 4 weeks of tulips or 8 weeks deluxe spring, and it'll be 4 weeks of tulips with 4 weeks of like peonies ranunculus, but there is no peony only subscription. And that was because if I had a peony only subscription, if they have to choose between that and tulips, they're probably going to pick peony only. So I just thought it's been, a way to stabilize that early cash flow, build a loyal customer base. And these people just trust our product. And so if you're organized, you're good at planning, and you're committed to either delivering or have things ready, subscriptions could be a really good fit.
Taking a quick break from today's episode to share a little bit about my work as a professional speaker. In the next few months, I'm headed to Peoria, Illinois to speak to a room full of insurance professionals with a talk that I call What's the Worst That Can Happen? It's a no-fluff pep talk on the importance of life insurance backed by real life experience. Then I'll be in Western North Dakota a few months later at Fusion Conference, sharing how I built my thriving business by going deeper, not wider, with my customers, showing entrepreneurs and leaders the power of meaningful customer relationships over chasing every opportunity. Then, a few months after that, I'll be speaking at the Forum of Executive Women here in Minnesota, encouraging women in business that it's okay if you don't want to niche down. You can build an ecosystem, a life and business that reflects all of who you are. If your group, conference, or company needs a speaker who brings heart, humor, and hard-earned wisdom, someone who leaves audiences both fired up and deeply grounded, let's connect. I speak both in person and virtually all over the U.S. You can visit LizFidlerMergen.com to learn more, and I look forward to hearing from you.
All right, next up, I'm going to talk about cut flower garden kits. And this is something that I've done. I'm doing it again this year. I think we have plans to really expand on them once we have the ability to do it. But they are great for spring or early summer, and they tend to perform especially well around Mother's Day, depending on where your frost is or whatever. But they appeal to customers who want to dip their toes into gardening without committing to starting from seed or navigating the gardening center. It just overwhelms them. So pros, they're easy to prep in the winter. You can assemble and get all the packaging ready. Just have them ready for a resource early spring. They have a pretty high profit margin. They often cost very little to produce, especially if you're starting plugs in bulk or dividing perennials or something like that. And they teach people to appreciate what goes into flower farming. So when customers realize how long it takes for that little plug to bloom into a bouquet-worthy flower, they will gain a whole new respect for your work. There are some cons though. You know, you're going to need bags, labels, care instructions, possibly delivery logistics if they're not local pickups. I offered a gardening growing class with mine. In fact, that's the only way you could get them. And I like that model. It's just some people were like, I don't need a class. I'm like, well, then go buy your plugs at the garden center because there's not enough money for me to only do so many. And you just have to pick and choose. The thing is, they're often a one and done customer. If they plant it once and they don't see results, they might not come back. So pairing it with like follow-up tips or a how-to video or a workshop can really increase that long-term engagement. Next is stem bars, both on the farm and offsite. So a stem bar is essentially a build your own bouquet bar. These can be done at your farm or at a partner business like a boutique, a winery, pop-ups. And it's really fun. It's a visual experience. People get involved, let them connect with your flowers in a hands-on way. And, you know, they're great because they're highly visual and Instagram worthy. They practically market themselves with photos alone. And it really gets your name into new audiences. You can meet customers you'd never reach through subscriptions or a farm stand. And it can be paired with other events like back to school or Mother's Day or whatever. And they're a great seasonal offering. And they work well as part of a larger community or like a ticketed event. But there are definitely some cons. They can be super labor intensive and they require a lot of setup and transportation. And they can quickly go from super profitable to not. So I have had great success with these, especially when I partnered with local businesses. I've even done like paid ticketed events where the stem bar was just part of the experience and it was paired with like a wine tasting or something. But in 2023, I did about $18,000 in stem bars alone. So for much of the season, I ran one on the farm and one off the farm every week. And while we're scaling back slightly this year for efficiency and while we're like under construction, they are still one of the most profitable offerings when done right and are a better fit for the most part for our farm than U-Picks because the types of flowers that we grow here and how I manage the customer experience. So actually one little plug, I do have a course called Secrets of Sold Out Stem Bars. It's normally $97. But when you sign up for the webinar on May 5th in the notes, you're going to get some follow-up emails and stem bar course is only $30. So, you know, you can check that out. There's a lot more information about it. So if this sounds like something that could work for you, make sure you're registered for the webinar and then you'll get more information about what that course is. There's a lot of details on the homepage before you check out of what it is. And of course, if you have questions, let me know. But honestly, it's the secrets that keeps it profitable. And it's a lot of tiny little tweaks that helps, you know, just helps the tide rise. So the next thing we're going to talk about is U-Picks. And they are the backbone of a lot of agritourism-based flower farms, but they come with some really big questions and considerations. So first of all, you know, they are a pretty high profit margin when done right. You're cutting out labor by letting the customers harvest them. And the experience adds a lot of value. And they are great for marketing, photo content, Your customers come, they become your photographers, they become your brand ambassadors. And it can appeal to families and weekend tourists, and people just love an activity they can do with their kids or their friends or just part of an outing. However, there are some cons, and one of them is it requires land access. Staffing, it's not just flowers. You need to figure out like safety measures and bathrooms. And are you going to offer that? And letting people know. And I tell you what, I've had probably 300 customers over the last few years go to the bathroom in my house because I'm not going to let them pee their pants. Even though I put it all over the website, come to the bathroom before you come. There are no public bathrooms. There are no public bathrooms, which is part of the reason why we're building our new multi-use building and why it ended up being the way it is because a septic system, commercial grade, is super expensive. So there we go. But it is, I mean, it's something that, we decided that, yep, we're going to invest in. And another con is that they're so weather dependent. Rainy weekend can really wipe out your traffic and your profits. So there are some really big strategic questions to ask before doing it. And that's what kind of flowers are you growing? Are they sturdy enough for guests to pick without damaging the whole plant? Do you want the farm to feel like a park, or is this a more curated experience? Is this going to be ticketed? Will customers pay in advance or just show up? Are you okay if every person that shows up to get a bouquet brings three kids and their husband? So now, if you sell 10 tickets, you have 40 people running around. Are you okay with that? If it is self-serve, how are you going to handle payment? Can you sell tickets ahead of time to generate revenue regardless of turnout? So we have leaned into our UPICs for kind of special weekends only, and that's been a great fit for us. So I love the community connection. We end up doing typically 30 picking tickets and 30 watching tickets. So it's typically right around, I mean, and we typically sell out, and then we'll add on a few watching or a few picks depending on, as numbers are. But I mean, we typically do about $1,500 on a Saturday morning. Almost every Saturday morning, but we're going to be expanding on that once we have just a little bit more opportunity to curate the space that I want it to be. Because the type of flowers that we grow and our need for control over the harvest quality, the UPICs will probably never be a huge thing here unless we decide to expand like where we grow our dahlias or where we grow our Lisianthus or, some things like that. So again, this might be a fit for you, or it might be something you grow into over time. So the key is to be intentional and realistic about your space, your schedule, your customers are ready for it. All right, the last offering I'm going to talk about in this episode before we get into part three next week is nursing home sponsorships and philanthropy offerings. So this is a category that doesn't always get talked about, and it's one of the most rewarding offerings that we've had in our business. And like everything else we've talked about, it started one way and it's evolved into something very different. So when I first started, I ran a buy one, give one model at my farm stand. So bouquets were $15 each in the farm stand, but customers could get two for the price of one because one was going to a local nursing home. And remember, these were not premium flowers. They were a lot of zinnias, stuff like that. But that essentially lowered the price of each bouquet to $7.50 from a revenue standpoint. But it helped me move a lot of product and connect with my community in a super powerful way. And then I started doing what I called give one options with subscriptions the next year. And customers could pay like $25 a week for just their bouquet or $30 a week for theirs and a mini bouquet to a nursing home. And it was a great model and customers felt good. And, I got to deliver like 50 plus mini subscriptions a week. And I, that added cost helped cover the product and labor. So remember, people went from paying $15 for one for themselves and one got delivered to $25 for just one for themselves or $30 for one for themselves and one got delivered. And I mean, I have an entire model on pricing with confidence on my Foundations of PPP course. I pretty much doubled my prices from year one to year two. That was a learning curve in learning like how to explain that to customers. And the thing that I learned mostly from it, and this is an entire module in Foundations of PPP, if you ever decide to take our course, Pricing with Confidence. The thing is, most people didn't fight back. Most people didn't care. Most people thought I was undercharging anyway. Or they were like, yeah, well, they were cheap and they were kind of crap. They were kind of ugly your first year anyway, and now they're prettier. So yeah, they should be more expensive. I thought that they were like mad and they're like, nope, it's fine. But I also have within Foundations of PPP, the nursing home sponsorships is this is just, I mean, it really started to take off. Local businesses would sponsor an entire nursing home. I would deliver arrangements to every resident or department, or we could have an activity. And it was just a win-win-win, or it is, because I still do them. And the residents got flowers, the business got positive PR, and I got paid fairly for my time and product, fairly ish. Like I said, that's become a whole new module inside of the course. And while I won't get into like the full details here, just know that it can be profitable if you structure it well. Because the truth is, these deliveries are time consuming and you are at the mercy of other people's schedule and, other facilities and bingo time and all those things. So I know only to do them, every couple weeks now. And then I have these 10 businesses that I rotated. But in our upcoming May 5th webinar, I'm going to share how I plan on expanding our nursing home sponsorships. It's still very similar to what I teach in the course, but I'm adding a few things. I'm adding more kids' STEM bars. There's a whole module on kids' STEM bars within Foundations at PPP and other philanthropy forward offerings, just using our new space. Again, when done right, these offerings build so much community. They're guaranteed sales. They're a great option. So, in summary, we talked about farm stands, subscriptions, cut flower kits, STEM bars, and philanthropy offerings like nursing home sponsorship or kids STEM bars. So again, that's just like a sampler plate of offerings for today. Next week in episode 3, we're gonna look at a little more big ticket offerings, more advanced options, workshops, weddings, selling to florists. I'm gonna walk you through what those require and how to know if you're ready for that. And don't forget to mark your calendar for May 5th at 8 p.m. Central. That's our live Zoom webinar. I'm gonna break down how we built Sunny Mary Meadow into multiple offering business, how it's evolving, and what decisions we've made along the way. So the registration link is in the show notes. I will see you next week. I'll see you next week live, but next week episode. So I debated when to do the Zoom call because I'm like, people haven't had a chance to listen to part 3, but I think most people listen to it right away. So just make sure you listen to part 3 before the Zoom webinar, and I will see you next week. Bloom and grow.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.